and Bruff.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
.01 on a Monday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope the first 2 hours have been okay today. We should let the people in on the fact that we had our first show yelling match at one another today. It was a bright moment for everybody involved. Dom really got to feel what it's like to work with Halford and Bruff today. We're just all going at each other in the break.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's part of the spirit of the show.
The true fighting spirit. It emboldens the, or embiggens the show.
I remember the first time Kletch ever saw Mike and I argue, because we yell at each other.
Yep. And threaten physical violence.
Yeah. And Kletch was like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
He had no idea what to do with it. He just had big, wide eyes.
And we were like, what? What's wrong, Kletch? Yeah. Like, we're just talking to each other. We are the uncomfortable married couple that fights in public.
That's right. You know? Doesn't care who sees it.
Yeah.
All our drama is out there for everyone. Mm-hmm. On that note, Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Those three, I remind you once again, North Shore Acura in the North Shore Auto Mall, Acura of Langley on the Langley Bypass, and Burrard Acura. What street is it on? Burrard Acura.
Terminal Avenue.
Yes. Very good. That one's in Vancouver.
By the way, when Bruff said it's the spirit of the show, my mind immediately went to...
The spirit of Massachusetts is the spirit of America. The spirit of what's old and what's new.
On the subject of the Family Guy.
Maybe you should watch less Family Guy.
That's good. On the subject of the Family Guy. So I played golf. And by the way, Marty, the Red's like, you got to go golf.
How'd you shoot?
Yeah. So what was your golf score? Marty the Red said you got to escape on Mother's Day. No, we played on Saturday. Anyway.
By the way, how did the no gifts for Mother's Day go over, Jason?
Great. Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
Yeah, it was terrific.
I haven't asked the listenership yet. Mm. I told many a person on Saturday, though, when we were golfing about the dynamic at play.
Right.
Where we had, it was like a full in basket of people, and it was like, people had very, like you, like very staunch and rigid rules on what's a gift occasion.
Right.
Birthday and Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then what's dinner, flowers, or, yeah, not the
Valentine's Day. Quality time occasion. Yeah.
Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, all the Hallmark.
And people were holidays. On board. And then some very clear designations on who's Mother's Day, who does what for Mother's Day. Right? Mm-hmm. You celebrate your mother. You make sure the kids celebrate their mother. It was all very interesting. Anyway, speaking of Family Guy, I went golfing on Saturday. And it was a very dramatic turnaround. Not that I played well on the back nine, but like there was like a competent, semi-coherent back nine of golf played.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And it coincided with like getting a bunch of beers at the turn.
Right.
And one of the guys that I didn't know that well looked at me and he's like, you're playing a lot better all of a sudden. I'm like, yeah, that'll happen. He's like, you're like Peter Griffin when he figures out he's a piano savant when he's wasted. I'm like, really? I'm like, I don't think it's that dramatic. He's like, it's way different than what you were doing on the front. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay.
So Northlands, I love Northlands, but it is hard because there's no driving range there. So you show up and it's like, all right, we've got a very tough first drive. There's water on the left, trees on the right. It's downhill. So don't go left. Don't go right. Everyone at the clubhouse is watching you. You haven't had any warm-ups. Go get him, champ.
You just got to grip it and rip it and just hope. And it didn't turn out well for the majority of the guys that I was playing
with. Hey, thanks. Hey, you think that was great? Watch this. Uh-oh, Lois, I'm losing my buzz. I need more talent juice.
Talent juice.
Nice.
All right, it's time for... Dom, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? It's time for What We Learned.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So... what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, F*** the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
We'll just bypass ours, I guess. Do you have a one? I mean, there is a lot of stuff that happened on the weekend that we have not addressed. Like the Whitecaps, I learned that the Whitecaps are off to a pretty impressive start. Mm-hmm. Your new favorite player, Christian the Homie.
Yeah.
Everyone says his name like that. That's it. He is Homie the Clown. That's his nickname now. Okay?
How do you actually spell it?
D-A-J-O-M-E.
Oh, okay.
So it's supposed to be...
Is it an I-E? Is it E? It is E. You're right. Sorry.
Yep. Christian the Homie. 2 goals for the Whitecaps against Montreal. So they had a pretty good start, all things considered. Every time that they have done well this season, the post-game reports are always like, we don't want to get too excited about this, but they kind of look all right. That's the general takeaway from the Whitecaps so far. Now, I don't think we're going to see him play anytime soon, because another thing that we learned is that when Dr. Bonnie Henry was saying that don't expect any big crowds or big events this summer, she really meant it. In a shocking development for the Canadian Football League, which always seems to impeccably streamline its communications, it appears as though there was a bit of a glitch here, because after reports suggested that all the provinces were signed off and ready on their return to play plan, BC said, not so fast, my friends. I guess 3-down nation, and good on them for getting the original story on this. They kind of fleshed out the reporting and got confirmation from BC health officials, Dr. Bonnie Henry's department, essentially saying, well, we've received the plan from the BC Lions about the CFL and the return to play in BC Place, but we haven't signed off on anything. Mm-hmm. Now, when I brought this story up to Dom, you were very much like, don't talk CFL. It's a channel changer right away. But I said, the important thing here, and we stress this to the listeners, this is not a CFL story. This is a what your summer is probably going to look like story. Because if all the other provinces have apparently signed off to some degree, and BC is still carefully going over this, I wonder if these ideas and aspirations people had for, well, everyone's going to get vaccinated and we're going to be back to normal in the summer. I just wonder if this is a sort of like, well, I wouldn't get so far down the road to start anticipating that.
When's the next date where Bonnie Henry will come out and either the restrictions will be kept in place?
May 2-4, 2-5.
2-5, yeah. May 25th. Yeah.
So after the long weekend, is that basically it?
Yeah, essentially.
It?
Right. Mm. So, I mean, I just think, again, we all know you're familiar, Dom, with like the CFL's contingency for return to play is they need to get, as John Horgan said, bums in seats, right?
They need the gate.
I feel like there's two real forces going up against one another right now. And it's a Canadian Football League that wants all the provinces to sign off so we can do this stuff and get fans back. And then in British Columbia, especially, they're like, well, hold the phone. Not only are we not going to sign off on like Canadian Football League, the Canadian Football League having fans back in attendance, we've said it publicly, we're not anticipating any big, large-scale, heavily populated, heavily attended events this summer.
I miss the Vancouver Canadiens. I miss them so much.
They're playing right now.
That's why I brought up the
Not
the
at the Nat.
No.
But that's why I brought up the Whitecaps, and to a lesser degree the Seas. Like, their seasons are underway, and you don't hear anything about, well, we're just waiting to get back home, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people were making a big... One of the leads in one of the stories for the Whitecaps was the Caps played Montreal for the first time ever, not in Canada. Like that's a big event. They had to play down in the States, and it didn't really say like they're for the rematch. They're anticipating they might be back across.
Where was the game in Florida?
Yeah, and that's,
did it resonate in Florida?
Was it in Florida? That was in Salt Lake.
Oh, sorry, it was Sandy.
Yeah,
Utah. Yeah.
Okay. Did it resonate in Utah? Was it the big story on all the Salt Lake City sports talk shows?
It was not, my friend. They're probably talking about
the Jazz, I imagine. All right, let's print out some submissions here.
You count me.
Moody Stew, what we learned, the Canucks should try playing drunk. Couldn't hurt, could it? I've always said that if the Canucks ever win the Stanley Cup, they can play drunk for the next 5 years if they want.
Have you ever played a beer league game drunk?
And I don't, not wasted, no.
Have you had like two beers before a game?
Yeah, on the bench. That's how I hydrate.
And?
You feel confident. I've played games where guys on my team have been drunk, and it is not pretty. It's a hard sport to play when you're
any sport involving
beyond buzz.
Yeah, any sport involving a little bit of cardio, I feel like that just doesn't bode well. But the other sports, the slower sports, like golf, billiards, that's that
darts,
right? You know, oh, darts. I mean, my God, right? I actually think about it. The perfect is a fat Welshman with a pint and a heater banging out of his mouth, and he's got the steadiest hand
totally
on earth
because of the booze,
because he's full of nicotine and alcohol.
But you gotta have that good balance. You gotta have that good balance
because once you go too far, You start seeing two dartboards.
Well, that happens with golf too, right?
Yeah, it's
you
true.
You get a couple drinks in you, and then you're like, oh, I feel really relaxed. Everything's going well. I need more drinks.
Yeah.
Nope. And then you're like, my swing doesn't seem very balanced, and I don't care.
Also, I fell over.
Scott with what we learned. Simpsons clips are slowly being taken over with Family Guy ones, and to quote the CFL, no mas. That's a reflection of the producer. The producer has not done his homework. The producer has not watched the good seasons of The Simpsons like he said he would.
Mm-hmm. Look, the sound of the show is going to reflect my upbringing as best I can.
Oh, is it?
Well,
oh, is it?
Frankly, we've had a few. Here's Tyler, Tyler on the mountain.
I don't even want to be married to that idea.
With what we learned.
I got it right here. What we learned. I learned that I don't need to listen to any take that Dom has anymore after his ridiculous DK Metcalf take.
And I want to elaborate on
this. I'm hold on. Oh, let me set the table.
Dig a deeper hole.
Someone could be getting into their car right now, getting into their vehicle, and maybe subjected to this ridiculous take. So I need to put it into context. So we were talking about DK Metcalf over the weekend, ran in the U.S. Olympic trials for the 100-meter dash.
No, he didn't. He ran in the USATF Golden Games.
Yeah, it was
California.
Like a professional track meet.
Yeah, it was a professional track meet.
The guys that are there are in that meet in advance of the Olympic qualifiers. They're all guys that are trying to qualify for the Olympics.
That's where I would like to begin.
Okay.
The fastest man.
No, wait. I have to tell them what you said first.
I will get to that.
Okay, you just go ahead.
The fastest man.
Whose show is this? I can't even remember. Well, is it yours?
I'm being called out for my take. Mm-hmm. I'm defending myself.
How are the ratings before our show came on?
For this segment, I'm not sure.
Mm.
Okay, go.
Isaiah Young was the fastest man at the meet. Isaiah Young is 32 years old. He's been to one Olympic Games in 2012, and he didn't get out of his opening heat at the Olympics. The man ran 10.09. We're not talking about the creme de la creme here. DK Metcalf was not racing against the world's best. He's racing against some of the United States track runners that are trying to get into the Olympics. He came.
Wow, you're really turning everyone's
Hold
opinion
on.
Around.
He came 15.
You're right. It wasn't impressive.
Out of 17.
What's that guy's name? He probably can't even run.
The guy
he probably can't even run.
The guy that won the Golden Games, Craven Gillespie, ran a 9.98. So it's not like this was like a bunch of retreads running. You know what I mean? I don't know what to tell you.
I'm talking about the 100
meter.
They're
like, sorry, is it left foot, right foot?
In the heat. Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
oh, there's multiple heats.
Yeah, I know. And they actually don't try their hardest in that one, and they go on to try harder
yeah,
in the
but do you know
ones.
Who did try his hardest? DK Metcalf.
Who is 6 foot four and 230 pounds.
That just adds to my argument here.
What is your argument again?
Look, my argument at the end of the day is that going into it, DK Metcalf is a freak athlete.
Yeah.
But we clearly have seen that football speed is different than track speed.
Yeah.
And going into it, I thought DK Metcalf would do much better than what he did.
What did you think he was going to do?
I thought he'd not come in last.
Do you realize that sprinters train specifically for sprinting? So there's more than just, there's more to sprinting.
Yes, I understand. But when you're talking about freak athletes and
Yeah, but
guys
like there's all sorts of stuff
quick,
that goes into it.
I get that.
They train every day for it. Like,
DK
I don't know
Metcalf
what
Metcalf is a professional football player who's one of his specialties is how quick he is.
Mm-hmm. And also other stuff.
So you just okay. So your overall take
is that I thought he'd be faster.
He done I love this. If you go and look up DK Metcalf right now, there's not one negative story on the entire internet, which is so hard because it's the internet. Usually there's one clown that does this, and we found the clown. It's amazing.
I'm fine with being the clown on this take. I legitimately thought he'd do better. I'm just telling you the truth.
I love some of these texts. Dom, did you think he was going to run so fast he was going to quit the NFL and become an Olympic sprinter?
Man wanted to try and get into the Olympics.
I don't think he did. I think you're missing all of this. Every good part of this story, I think that you've missed. And you've chosen to focus on the negative that doesn't even exist. Because he was a football player.
I love
a player.
And also, you would be impressed if he was like 1/10 of a second faster.
Oh, then he'd probably do a lot better.
I think you feel like he should have just been dropped into all these athletic events and won them all. Like, he did triple
Look
jump.
At
and
him.
He should, yeah, I don't think it works like that, though. You know, it's like, I just don't think it works like that. In fact, I know it doesn't work.
Do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger should have been the fastest man alive then when he was like in his peak?
That's a terrible argument because
it's almost as bad as yours.
A bodybuilder to a man who runs for a living and catches balls.
So should Arnold Schwarzenegger have been the best at all the strength sports?
Because he was good at them. He certainly would have been good at them.
Okay.
Can you turn your mic off just for a bit? Just for a bit.
He would have been good at wrestling.
Can you cut up the podcast? Do some of the other producer stuff that you say you're so busy doing. All right?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. That's really funny, though. It's great that you came up with that angle because you're the first. I'll give you credit, brother. You're the first.
Dustin from Abbey, what we learned, Rory McIlroy went from the wilderness to the winner's circle in like 3 weeks. He's now the betting favorite for the PGA at Kiawah Island, where he won by 8 shots. Golf is crazy, man. I think it was 2012 he won the PGA there. Kiawah Island is most famous, and you're going to see all the clips for the 1991 Ryder Cup. I think they called it the War on the Shore. And guess who missed the key putt there for Europe, Mike Alford? He is my favorite athlete currently.
Colin Montgomery?
No. Who have I talked about who inspires me every day to keep golfing?
Bernhard Langer.
Bernhard Langer missed a putt there.
By the way, he did not want to join us.
Bernhard Langer, you reached out to him?
Yeah.
And he said no?
He said no.
Okay.
Well, at least he responded. That doesn't really not going to change it in Jason's eyes.
He was like, nine. I do not wish to go on the Alfred
Ambrose
show. I can't
confirm he didn't respond. Drew.
Yeah, I have many better things to do with my time.
Yeah, Rory.
The Rory story, start with that. Mm-hmm. But the DeChambeau thing was weird.
Yeah, he thought okay, so Rory, first of all, just talking about Rory. Rory at the Masters looked completely lost. And I know he was... he was making some swing changes, so it was excusable, right?
He needed more talent juice.
That's true. He played this most recent tournament completely wasted. Yeah, it was the first time someone from Ireland had a drink.
First time for everything.
Anyway, good to see Rory back. He is one of my favorite golfers. He just seems like a good guy. He's unbelievably talented. He hadn't won for 18 months. The Bryson DeChambeau story was hilarious because he thought he had missed the cut. He flew home, and then they were like, you made the cut.
When he finished,
and
he was like
90th. Take a private jet back, and then he ended up finishing tied for ninth.
And he said that the money that he ended up winning more than covered the private jet expense.
The net jets.
So yeah, because I guess.
Oh, good for him.
He had to go at like 2:45 in the morning. That's crazy. I don't really understand why he just wouldn't hang around just to be sure, but I guess he really just wanted to maximize his time so he could go lift weights or eat protein shakes or something or other.
Whatever.
I don't know. Whatever Bryson DeChambeau does.
Andrew from Port Alberni, what we learned, I learned that while I have no time for the argument that McDavid got all his points because of a weak North Division, he did get 42 of those 100 against the Canucks and Senators. So is that true? 42 of his 100 points came against the Canucks and the Sens?
I never did the math, but I mean, it sounds
legitimate. Sounds right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I'm not going to check it up. What we learned from Tableside James, hashtag WWL, Halford and Bruff are going to be back to butchering car ads again now that they've partnered up with the spectacular Dilawri family of Acura dealers. By the way, I did not realize this until right now, but in addition to everything else, the Dilawri family of Acura dealers is also the chief presenter of What We Learned. This segment right now brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers.
They're very good.
They are very good. Go visit them.
What We Learned, Jeeves from Surrey. Right now, Connor McDavid is the most exciting athlete to watch in all of sports.
He's up there. I don't know if he's the most exciting.
For me, he is. Personally, he is.
That's a tough one.
That's a Canadian take right there.
Okay. I'm Canadian, and hockey is my favorite sport. So
Let's go sport by sport. Who are the most exciting guys to watch right now?
Mike Trout.
Is it? Fernando, is it Trout?
Tatis. In baseball.
Okay.
Or
in basketball, it would be Luka, LeBron, Zion.
Yep.
They're up there.
Yep.
In football.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, Steph Curry.
Football would be Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, for me,
in the world of sprinting, it's DK Metcalf.
Is McDavid the most dominant
this season?
Athlete?
This season, for sure.
Of all of like in North American sports,
this season for sure.
See, the problem is, it's always hard with hockey because you can't dominate at the same level as you do in say basketball, where you can play most of the game.
Although he kind of did this
year. That adds to the argument that he is the most dominant because he's doing it in a sport where it's hard to do.
I have a what we learn where I get to dunk on you.
Go ahead.
Maybe you. I don't know. It is from Scott Rintoul, who just texted me.
Oh, of course he did.
Rinty texted me. This is a what we learned. Hashtag WWL. You should admonish Dom. Mike Fiuta's last name is pronounced Mike Fiuta. We confirmed it with him, and he's on our show today.
So it's not Fuda. I thought it was Fuda.
I thought it was Fuda.
I don't want to admonish you so much. It's kind of like, let's dump on Dom Day here on the Halford
Abrupt. Well, he deserves it. Matt, the window guy, texts in with what we learned. Dom thinks Bryson DeChambeau would win the home run derby.
I just expected more. Listen. No, he's never played the sport professionally, but I just expected more.
We can't take it out of the equation.
What?
That he could.
It's an amazing.
He has the power.
It's an amazing, amazing.
DeChambeau would get up there and like, he wouldn't win the home run derby, but he'd hit quite a few dingers, and Dom would be like, I thought he'd win it.
Yeah. I don't want to say disappointment, but I don't have another word to finish.
I thought he'd do better.
Neil in Windsor, hashtag WWL, what we learn. I learned that Doug Jarvis's record for most consecutive games played, 964, can be broken as soon as next season. Keith Yandel's on 921, Patrick Marleau's at 909, and Phil Kessel played in his 900th consecutive game on Saturday. I just wanted
to
bring
this three
up.
Players who don't go into corners.
I wanted to bring it. Did you see the picture of Kessel?
Yes.
I
love that guy.
I have so much respect.
I love him.
For Phil Kessel.
Yes.
It is amazing. He has spent his entire NHL career just like he has not been handed any, like, don't get me wrong. He's got amazing genetics.
I thought that was a picture of Wyatt.
He's got amazing genetics in some regards, but like he has not been handed a tremendous head of hair. And he's kind of got like the milk bag body, right? Like he looks like you and I, basically.
But he's got tree trunks unbelievable
for legs,
talent.
And he's played 900 games.
Yeah.
Just going, like, he just loves playing hockey, right? Like, I bet he probably doesn't crush it in the gym, right?
Probably not.
I bet he's not lifting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he goes and plays hockey and goes home and just kind of chills out.
He's the John Daly of hockey.
No, because John Daly, like, sabotaged himself. I don't think Phil Kessel does. I think Phil Kessel keeps himself in shape in a very weird way.
And also, you can be out of shape and be a good golfer.
I'm more referencing the just show up and do the sport well part of.
Like, I think both. Phil Kessel, I think he just keeps himself fit in just like a very different way. Like, I bet he looks at himself like a battery. He's like, if I don't go too low, I think I'll be okay.
That's a Trump philosophy.
And then I can recharge at night. And
I
my
love
battery.
That.
Yes. I think that's how
every human only has a limited amount of energy.
We all have power supplies. I don't want to. And if I recharge, I'll be okay. What were you going to say?
We should ask Kevin about this coming up next. I think he'd have a great answer.
Okay, let's do it. Kevin BX coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Your beeper's going off, Dom. Please attend to that. 8:30 on a Monday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. And now he's calling somebody. This is unbelievable. A reminder.
You page me?
Yeah. Halford Brough in the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Yes, we're back. We've got the band back together again. You remember them from our days across the street at 1040. Me, Brough, Dustin, who you can visit down at Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. You can also go to the North Shore Auto Mall. That's North Shore Acura. And Acura of Langley, that's on the Langley Bypass. Go check out all the new makes and models. All safety protocols are in full swing at all three of the dealerships. So you can go, feel safe, go test drive, go purchase, go buy. It's the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Let's get to the phone lines now. Joining us now is Kevin BX, a presentation of Andrew Sherritt Limited, your plumbing and heating wholesaler, a proud family-owned BC company helping local businesses since 1892. Kevin BX is now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, there's all these things that we wanted to talk about. The playoffs are getting closer. Connor McDavid scoring 100 points. But we can't help but be fascinated by the picture and the idea and the image of Phil Kessel playing in his 900th consecutive NHL game over the weekend. So if this streak, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't, continues into next season, he's going to be going up and trying to challenge Doug Jarvis's all-time Ironman mark. And I don't know if you've seen the picture or not, but I'm sure you're familiar with Phil Kessel. He's got a very everyman look and sense about him, right? Like he's, you know, Jason yeah. and I are like, there's someone I could aspire to be. The crazy part is he's unbelievably strong and he's got this Ironman streak going on. You know, during your playing career, did you ever play with a guy or maybe more than one guys who, you know, wasn't a monster in the gym, didn't really look like much of an athlete, but performed at this kind of a level?
Yeah, I have. And I saw the picture of Phil, and thing about him is, and played a long time against Phil, he's obviously a great natural skater and he's fast. But the thing about him, after talking to a trainer, a mutual trainer that we had, is he's pretty explosive in the gym. Mm-hmm. As much as he doesn't look like it, he's in the gym that often and he doesn't really train, he does go to the gym, but you know, he's got this natural, like, fast twitch muscle and this natural explosiveness that mm-hmm. probably makes him such a great skater. But something like box jumps. Can you picture Phil Kessel doing box jumps? Well, apparently right. he's pretty good at it. Apparently he's really springy and he's really explosive. And he has that kind of spring in his legs that very few guys have. Like a Connor McDavid, you could tell he's really springy. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't look like a guy who's got enormous quads like Crosby and hamstrings. He's a guy who's really springy, and Phil's much the same thing. Listen, when I was in Vancouver, we worked hard. I felt like we were probably the best conditioned team in the league for a long time, and we put the work in. You know, the Sedins and Kessler and you know, all the guys that we had there, Alex Edler. And when I came to Anaheim, wasn't the same kind of culture, which, whatever, it is what it is. But the one guy who right away I looked at and I couldn't believe, you know, the way this guy, you know, looked, and not in a bad way, but just different, was Ryan Getzlaf. Because
right.
when we went onto the ice, you know, I would see him in the summer and I would golf with him, and, you know, I would go to the gym and he was in the gym a little bit. He golfed mostly. And then we would go to camp, and he was by far the best guy on the ice. So the biggest or the most natural athlete I ever played or even saw was Ryan Getzlaf. And it's not even close. Like, for the amount of training, and he's blessed. He, much like a Mario Lemieux, he's blessed with that big, strong frame. Mm-hmm. He's actually naturally a really good skater without even working at it. He's got the long reach. He's got unbelievable hockey vision. So he kind of has the body and the skill set, so he doesn't have to be in the gym every day. But he's obviously, as he's gotten older, he's found himself there more because he's trying to, you know, prolong his career and stay injury free and everything. But when I first got there, I couldn't believe how good this guy was for the time that he put into the gym. And yeah, maybe if I was that good, I wouldn't have to put as much time into the gym either. But he was such a natural and still is.
Is there a guy you can think of that's kind of like the opposite of a Kessel, who made it to the NHL just purely because of hard work? Maybe you saw him golfing or throwing a football and you're like, you are not a natural athlete, but you are somehow a professional hockey player.
Yeah, every goalie I've ever played with, probably. Eddie Lack, Luongo, Schneider. No, I'm just kidding.
I always wondered about Luongo. Like, it was Luongo a good – if you played – I don't know, like, if you went golfing or if you played, like, slow-pitch softball, would Luongo just be able to pick that sport up right away, or was he just, like, such a goalie?
Well, I'm not taking any more cracks at Luongo, because I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to put on your website, and you're going to cut this quote, and he's going to read it, and he's going to get mad at me again, and our relationship is good right now. I'm not going to rock anymore and everything. So forget about Luongo, but there's goalies that I've played with before. And yeah, you're like, oh my God, this guy is not an athlete. Like, he's not running a marathon when he's done. He's really good at a certain skill. But no, there's other players too, where, you know, like, a lot of times when we go on the road, there, you know, the basketball court would be set up at an arena like the United Center, and we'd go out and shoot some hoops and play a little, you know, 5-on-5 or a little 3-on-3 or something, or you, we play soccer always before the games, and you could kind of see when you started playing other sports, like who are the natural athletes? Like who are the guys that are good at every sport? It's same thing with golf, right? You get on the golf course at the end of the season. Who are the guys who can just play any sport? And you're like, wow, that guy's good at everything. And I can't think of anyone who was that bad, but there's a couple guys that were just terrible athletes. And it's just jaw dropping to think that they got to the highest level for hockey and professional, you know, at the professional level, and they can't even hit a tennis ball, or they can't even hit a golf ball, or they can't even look half decently athletic when they're shooting a free throw.
That was Luongo, right?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Luongo.
He's not doing this. Okay.
Natural athlete. He's great.
I'll never forget. This was, I think it was the 2009-2010 season. The Canucks put out a video of all the guys playing flag football together. And I remember, like, they had clips of, like, Yannick Hansen and Alex Edler. And you're like, okay, like, understandable. It looks like they don't know what they're doing. Like, they didn't grow up with football. And they were looking at it like, what is this weird oblong shape? What do I do with it? Right? But and then Darcy Hordichuk got the football and he acted the exact same way. And I'm like, there's no excuse for that. Like, you should be able to at least throw a football. But it kind of reminds you that some guys, again, are like naturally gifted athletes and they try something once and they're amazing at it. And then some other guys are, I'm a hockey player. And that, and I, you know, if I can't do other sports very well, that's because I'm not good at them. It's not because I'm a natural athlete.
Well, Hordy grew up in Saskatchewan too. So that's pretty embarrassing that he doesn't know how to throw a football properly. Like, all the Rough Rider fans would be, you know, turning over right now if they heard that. But you know what I found? That, like, the Danes and the Swedes and the Finns are all really good at paddle sports. So they're really good at table tennis and tennis. Ping pong and tennis are kind of two things that I think they play a lot of back there. But I think most Canadians and Americans should be half decent at golf if they're hockey players, and, you know, be able to throw a football, be able to throw a baseball around. I think that's kind of expected. And that's why, like, We train, like, everyone who's ever trained, you know, advised a key player, you know, what to do in the summers. Most of us say, you know, play other sports when you're young and cross train, and you learn different things from different sports. Like, I tell my kids at my academy, like, we skate a lot and we skate, you know, six times a week all year. And I said, I don't want you to put your skates on the ice in July. I want you to go throw a baseball around. I want you to go throw a football. I want you to play lacrosse. I want you to shoot some hoops, you know, swim in the ocean or in the lake, like, work on other skill sets that you get from other sports. So when you see somebody who can't do any of that stuff, it makes you wonder, like, this guy just been playing hockey every day for his whole life. Like, I don't think that's very good.
It's Alfred and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We're talking with Kevin BX. Kevin, John Tortorella will no longer be the coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I know when he was fired by the Canucks, a lot of people wondered if he'd ever be back in the league again. He's done, I think, for the most part, a pretty good job in Columbus, often with teams that lack talent. What is your opinion on why it didn't work out in Vancouver? Was it the wrong team, the wrong mix for him? Did his methods not work? What ultimately, why didn't it work for him?
Well, I think it's a guy like Torts, who has some pretty aggressive, you know, philosophies for coaching, and he does some pretty aggressive things at times, you know, like the Line A, how he handled that, and Dubois at times, and what he's done, you know, with different players, you know, trying to keep their group accountable and sitting guys. And, you know, sometimes some of that stuff has to fly under the radar a little bit for him, you know, to continue to coach in that city. And in Columbus, yeah, like, we talked about it a little bit, but you know, the media there didn't beat it into the ground. He did a couple things in Vancouver that were aggressive, and the media just would not let it go. And they escalated it and made it into a bigger deal. You know, the going down the hallway in the Calgary brawl. I told you guys, he came into the dressing room after, and there's not one guy on our team that was upset with that.
Mm-hmm, right.
Every guy on our team thought, wow, this guy has our back. This guy, is, you know, he's pissed off for what Hartley did, blah, blah, blah. And I just don't think the media could let that thing go, and that ended up hurting him. And I don't think Trevor, you know, being the president of the team at the time, you just can't, when you have the media create this storm and all the people jump on it and that was wrong. I think that was probably the one situation that he just couldn't live down and he couldn't get over. So certainly, like, we had our meetings at the end of the season with management, and, you know, they asked the core guys, you know, what our opinion was as far as, do you want us to bring Torts back or not? And I don't know what everybody said, but I know the Twins and I said, we want you to bring him back. Mm-hmm. That's all I can speak to. And clearly that wasn't enough to keep him.
Was there any element of Torts coming in with his, this is how you win. You got to be willing to do this in order to win. Was there any element of the team going, well, we've actually had quite a bit of success playing this way, and now you want us to play this way? Was there any element of that where his message just didn't reach the ears of the team?
That's an individual question there, but I think for the most part, no. Like, I think our egos on that team were checked a long time before, so we were willing to do anything it would take to win. So obviously when we didn't have the success and we were close, and yeah, we were good for a long time, but we all wanted to win a cup. So mm-hmm. when he came in, we were all eyes and ears open. I don't think any of us were really like, oh, this isn't going to work. I mean, there was a couple system-wise questions maybe that we had for him. Like, he liked to keep the defenseman, defensive zone in front of the net. He liked to swarm the puck. So if the puck was in the corner in our defensive zone, he wanted all three forwards really, really tight, and he wanted the two defensemen close to the net. And he wanted to basically – and now you see every team does it, but he basically wanted it to be like a 5-on-2 and get the puck back and go. Well, the problem there, the issue that the forwards had is once we got the puck, they were all so close together that they weren't able to really create any offense because, they were so far away from the neutral zone and it was hard to skate the puck through. Like, there was some little questions maybe we had like that for him, but as far as buying in and everything, I think the team bought in and the team was willing to do whatever it took. And you look at, like, Chris Tanev was a young guy, and the whole shot-blocking mentality, I think that gets overplayed a little with Torts. Like, all he simply says is, I don't care how you do it, but just this is part of your responsibility. Your responsibility in the defensive zone, if you're not in the lane or if the puck gets your defenseman because you're either out of position or you don't have a good stick, you have to block the shot. Like, that's just non-negotiable. So stuff like that. Look at what Chris Tanev and Alex Edler have done with that. Like, they've made almost a career on, shot blocking, and people talk constantly about their warriors and how much they sacrifice from their team. They don't do that if they don't have John Tortorella as a coach early in their career. So on top of that, he taught guys a lot about, not that we weren't an accountable group, but boy, were we ever a super accountable group under him, because you just didn't get away with anything, no matter if you were a star guy like Kessler, or you were just a fourth liner like Tom Sestito, or a third liner like Dale Weiss. Like, nobody got away with anything, and that's a good thing to have, especially earlier in your career.
Torts is 63 now. He said he wants to keep coaching, but we kind of said it'll have to be the right situation and the right kind of team. Now, you actually the last years you were in Anaheim, you had Randy Carlyle there. I think there's some similarities, maybe just in personality and age. I mean, Carlyle was 62 when he was coaching you guys, and that was ended up being the end of his coaching career, unless he gets another gig now. What were some of your memories of Carlyle that stage of his career? Because the other thing too was that was his second tour of duty in Anaheim. He won the cup, he left, he went to Toronto, and then came back and was coaching again.
Yeah, like, I've had a couple years to think about that. I really liked Randy. My first year I had him in the minors, the lockout year, Katz and Burrows and I were there for the whole season. And I was a young guy and I was learning the game, and he was great for me because he'd give me like little tips here and there, especially as a defenseman, and just kind of seeing, where the bar had to be as far as work ethic and everything like that. And he'd throw a couple digs at me, like, how many NHL games have you got, kid? When we're walking past each other in the hallway, and how many Norris trophies have you won, kid? And I'm like, well, none. Like, I've never played in the NHL, so how could I have won?
I was an underdog in that race.
Yeah, he'd throw these humble brags at me when we'd walk by each other when I was in the minors. And I thought it was kind of funny and cool. And then, fast forward to, 13 years later when I'm at the end of my career and I've accomplished a few things, and he would try some of that stuff with me, and I'm like, well, how many guys have you knocked out, Randy? Or, how many Stanley Cup finals have you played in, Randy? So needless to say, I don't think I enjoyed him as much my second time around, because I think all those jokes and chirps were kind of a little bit old by that point for me. And
yeah,
but I've had a couple years to sit back and think, it's just like AV. I think I've told you guys the story. I had coffee with Trevor once early in my career, and he said, by the end of your career, you're going to say AV was one of the best coaches you ever had. And I'm like, you're nuts. You're nuts, Trev. And sure enough, AV is probably the best head coach, everything included, that I ever had. I think the same about Randy. I think I appreciate Randy. He's obviously has his shortcomings. He's a tough guy to interact with at times, yeah. Socially, but I think for everything he did and the way he prepares as a coach and the face-off plays and the line matching and the game management, I think he was a pretty good coach for me.
Kevin, thanks a lot for doing this, man. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk again soon.
Cheers, guys. Have
thanks.
A good one.
You too. Thanks. That's Kevin Bieksa here on the Halford & Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Right up against it for time. Quick break. We're going to come back, wrap up Monday's show, get to anything that's left in the Dunbar Lumber text in basket, and set you on your way for the rest of Monday. Halford & Brough, Sportsnet 650. :51 on a Monday. Halford & Brough, Sportsnet 650. Despite what EPMD is saying here, we will not have a crossover. We're going to have to kibosh that in order to remind you yet again, yes, it's happening. The band is back together. Halford & Brough and the Dilawri Group of Acura Dealers. This show is brought to you by those three dealerships, North Shore Acura and the North Shore Auto Mall, Acura of Langley and the Langley Bypass, and Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. That one's our favorite. We've been there a number of times to see our good buddy Dustin.
I wouldn't say it's our favorite.
You're allowed to have favorites.
Yeah.
You could say the other two are amazing, but this one is extra amazing.
I've always had an affinity for the Langley Bypass.
True. He loves hanging out on bypasses. Mm. It's been his thing for years.
Yeah.
Next time we go out, we can take my car.
Okay.
Should I get a new one soon? Feel like the deal is in place. Mm-hmm. They're back on board. I've been driving the 2021 RDX for a while. I love it, but maybe it's time to try something new. Go into the future, 2022.
You'll be like, those scratches were there when I got it.
I don't know what happened. I know nothing of the scratches on this vehicle. A reminder, check out the Dilawri family of Acura dealers, the three dealerships, North Shore Acura and the North Shore Auto Mall, Acura of Langley on Jason's favorite, the Langley Bypass, and Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue in Vancouver. Real quick, potential error and omission. The picture that's online of Phil Kessel isn't the puck from his 900th game. It's the puck of his 900th NHL point. What we learned that we read...
Okay.
Was alluding to Kessel being in the 900 games consecutively playing.
Iron Man streak,
going after Doug Jarvis. Just
is it a jerk move to say Phil Kessel, Patrick Marleau, and Keith Yandel, yes, they all have Iron Man streaks. Do they play a certain style that helps them in those Iron Man streaks?
I mean, I guess Yandel, by nature of being a defenseman, is more prone to getting hit. Right? You would think that like if Kessel and Marleau wanted to avoid contact an entire game, it'd be easy. Right? Yandel,
I think it is a jerk move. That's a jerk move on my part to be like,
I don't think so.
Those guys don't play a particularly grinding style of game.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, I don't. In Marleau and Kessel's, I think you could say, like, if they wanted to take a couple shifts off, they could.
No,
the way
it's not
they
even
play.
Taking shifts off.
No, but the way that they play, right? Because they're kind of they do other things, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have to grind. They don't have to get pucks in deep, right? Yeah, Kessel's a 90-point scorer. He's won a bunch of Stanley
Didn't
Cups.
Didn't Daryl Sutter have a really backhanded take about Keith Yandel once? When he was... I feel like there was... It was something about Drew Doughty.
Yeah.
And Drew Doughty playing both sides of the puck and maybe not piling up a bunch of points... And then Daryl Sutter said, if all you do is play offense, then you're this and you're a big minus and you're Keith Yandel.
I can't find it. I'll have to try and...
Well, the show's over, whatever.
Brough spent the last hour of the show with burying guys. Some of it was factual, some of it wasn't.
You decide.
Yeah, okay, we got to get out of here, but we will be back tomorrow. Drance is going to join us, and a potential new NHL insider, former NHLer Carl Alzner, is going to join us here. So be sure to join us, 6 to 9. But we got to get out of here now. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Brough. He's been crazy nephew Dom on the Halford & Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.